Do I turn it off? My ears are saying ow. Stop laughing at yourself. Are these two making sense? At least I didn't pay. I am deaf in my defense. TCB is terrible. That is being kind. Both the hosts are idiots. They left the funny behind. What is this show about? It's offensive to my soul. Brian is a hack. These two aren't funny and so old. Why all the hype? How did this get made? So many episodes, none of which are great. TCB is terrible. Worst show you could do. TCB is terrible. Worst to you.
This episode of The Commercial Break.
The dog's nose was so sensitive that it had smelled the weed days after it had been in my shorts.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't washed my shorts or anything like that. And then they went on to explain what, as they were taking every single thing out of my luggage and shaking it down and having the dog sniff through it, they went on to explain that this does happen pretty often, but that is just part of their job. And mm-hmm. I said, okay, no, it's okay. Let's, you know, I got to get going. Okay, see you later. And he said, one more thing. You wouldn't have any, like, you wouldn't, like, stuff anything in your side. And I'm like, like my ass? And he was like, yeah, you wouldn't do that, would you? And I'm like, no, I wouldn't do that. He's like, you mind if I take a look?
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is a dear friend of mine and the co-host of this show, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Kristen.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. How the hell are you? How the hell are you? Thank you for joining us. We are considering a cruise, a TCB cruise. We'd like to know if you'd like to join us. We didn't talk to the cruise line about it, but we're pretty sure they're going to be okay if one or two of our listeners show up onto the cruise with us. Chrissy's got a friend who's like a travel agent for many years.
Yes.
And this morning, Chrissy says, I don't like cruises. I mean, she has always stated on this show and otherwise, I don't like cruises, not interested, not going to go. And then all of a sudden, she gets a pricing list for this crazy deal that's going on for like 30, 40 cruises. And the prices are outrageously low.
They really are.
And I'm like, this has got to be a joke. But it's coming from a reputable source.
Mm-hmm.
Norwegian Cruise Lines. Very good. This is not a sponsorship here. I have nothing to do with Norwegian Cruise Lines. And I know how much an actual cruise costs because I've been on a few of them. This is insane. Like 14-day cruises for $600 for the cabin.
Yeah,
the cabin.
Entire cabin and food included and drink included, all and a shore excursion.
Shore excursions and specialty dining, which are the really nice restaurants they usually have in the cruise ships that almost definitely mean you have to break out your American Express or in my case, your Chime credit card to
your Diner's Club.
Your Diner's Club. Your prepaid Visa from Walmart.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to break that out because the specialty dining is where they make extra money. That's just it. And certainly the excursions are part of that too. So this is like hard to believe. And we're thinking to ourselves, why don't we go and do some commercial break episodes from a 9-day Mediterranean cruise? Now, the catch is, because there's always a catch. The catch is, yes, they are dirt cheap, but you have to find a way to get yourself to the port. Mm-hmm. And the port
is in Barcelona.
This one that we're looking at, Barcelona, Rome, Reykjavik, somewhere that's pretty far flung. Even the ones here domestically are out of Seattle, which is not exactly a hop, skip, and a jump away from Atlanta. But regardless, that is pricing you can live with.
Mm-hmm.
$600? There are many cruisers who will tell you, like hardcore cruisers.
And there are many.
Yes, there are
There's some people that go live on a cruise ship.
There's retirement cruise ships.
Yeah.
There are 4-year cruises, 10-year mm-hmm. cruises. There are lifetime cruises where you just pay every month, like rent, like $2,000 a month. And then you just live on the cruise ship. And mm-hmm. wherever the cruise ship goes, you go. Mm-hmm. On all the dead legs, on all the renovation legs, on all that, you just live. Or you get off the ship and they put you up in a hotel while they renovate the boat or whatever. I've seen videos
about it. Yeah.
And it's fascinating.
I know.
And I love the idea. There was an idea floated around for a long time about a floating retirement home.
Mm-hmm.
The world's largest cruise ship, essentially. It would just float around the oceans, and then it would have smaller boats taking people in because it was too big to even dock anywhere. They got some money together for this. There were investment firms involved, but it fell apart like a lot of these big engineering projects do because you actually couldn't make that. You actually could not make a floating island like that, it turns out. But it was an idea, and I loved the big thinking makes me excited.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you look at the UAE and they're putting together, you know, we're gonna build Disney World, only 70 times bigger than Disney World actually is, with ports and flying airplanes and roller coasters that are 10 miles long. I get excited about that stuff. I'm like, good for you, big thinking. But it never comes. Didn't we talk about the line?
Yes, we did, because I sent that article to you and you're like, yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah, and it didn't happen, by the way. They got like 10 miles of it dug. And they started pouring the foundation. Mm-hmm. And even by like modest standards of what people thought actually might come of this, most people are going, this is a joke. This is never going to happen. 10 miles long. Anyway, this cruise, you get there. The thing is, you could spend that $600 and do what hardcore cruisers tell you to do, which is, yes, it's nice to go see the sights and sounds, but a cruise ship is best when everybody else is off of it.
True, I can see that.
You can get the best service. You can do shopping and dining, sit by the pool, get a nice chair on the top of the deck, go talk to other cruisers. It's just like a nice time to be on the cruise ship when no one else is there. Now, defeats the purpose a little bit for me, and I'm a little too claustrophobic to be on the ship the entire, like, even the big ship that I've been on, I want to get outside the ship.
What's the point of like going to all these amazing places if you're not going to get off and go see them?
If you're a hardcore cruiser, you've already done it.
Okay.
And you know the gig on a cruise is any place.
Just enjoy being on the cruise ship?
Any place that has big cruise ships that come in. Any major ports. New Orleans, Tampa, you know, the Space Coast, any of that. When they go down to their destinations, the Bahamas, Mexico, even in Europe, there are entire ecosystems of people that want to separate you from your euros or wherever it is, your rupees or wherever you happen to go.
Your rupees.
I like that name. I just like the thought of a rupee.
Yeah.
They want to separate you from that. And they are master.
Sales people.
Yes. It's the same t-shirts at every port. They buy them from the same Chinese company. It's the same fake jewelry and Fendi bags.
Okay, you're turning me off again from cruises.
So when you do a cruise like we did when we went to Europe, only because we already understood, you got to get away from the pack, right? Yeah. If you go to Rome, like you can't actually pull up to Rome in an ocean. It doesn't work like that because Rome is actually surrounded by land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you can get pretty close, and then you take an hour-long train ride there. Well, you can buy the tickets from the cruise ship, and you can go on their little thing, and then you're going to be hustled onto a bus where some dude is going to try and sell you an additional package to take a tour and see the sights, and you have 3 hours in Rome, so you can do this, and you can do that, and stupid earpiece, and everyone's going to be following this red flag, and everyone's talking. Or you can just beat a path of your own. So that's what we did.
That's what we like to do.
Yeah. We grabbed a cab. We went to a local train station. We just beat the buses there. We found tickets. The train was sold out, so a lot of people got screwed. We got on the train. We went to Rome. We ignored all of the tour packages, mm-hmm. and we just went and did what we wanted to do. And that it was lovely. It was enjoyable. And we did that in most of the ports.
Yeah, see, I don't like to have a schedule. I like to have city that I'm going to be in and the hotel, and I know that for how many days. And then there's a couple things that are maybe on my list, but I may just decide when I get there, I want to hang out in a cafe all day and drink wine and people watch.
That's what we did. Mm-hmm. We found our favorite restaurant in Rome, mm-hmm. and we went there once and then again twice.
Yep.
So we went for lunch and then we went again for an early dinner.
Right.
We went twice to the same restaurant in one cruise day to Rome. And listen, we all loved it. We were okay with that. The reality is, like anything in life, usually going against what everybody else is doing will present some problems and some opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're either that kind of person or you're not. There's plenty of people who like to just go with the flow. Like, go where everybody
exactly.
else is going and do the thing.
They want to have planned for
them. Yeah, they want to be safe.
I want to decide.
But there are entire YouTube channels dedicated to the people like us who missed the cruise ship.
And that probably would be
and
me.
And those are great fun. It's great fun to watch people lose their place on the cruise ship.
Purposely leave the cruise. Who knows?
Some of these people are such fucking nudniks. I mean, the horn is honking for an hour. We went to Mallorca.
Yeah.
On one of the cruises we took. We went to Mallorca. Astrid and I had been there before. We knew about Mallorca. So we knew.
It's supposed to be beautiful.
Mallorca? Forget about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
In Mallorca, like, the actual Mallorca, the city of Mallorca, on Mallorca, is like the least interesting part of Mallorca.
Uh-huh.
Go off the beaten path in Mallorca. It's so fucking gorgeous. It's heaven. It's heaven. I would live there in a heartbeat. So the cruise ship pulls up with 12 other cruise ships, literally. There's like a million cruise ships. You know, there's like, I don't say 12. There's five huge cruise
yeah,
ships parked.
I've seen those ports.
Everybody's getting mm-hmm. off. Everybody's walking across the street to the cathedral, getting on their buses, going up into the town, getting cheap gold, you know, doing all this
yeah.
crazy crap. And we go and we beat a path of our own. And then we get back. It's a short cruise window, meaning because of weather, we only had like 4 or 5 hours.
Oh, wow.
Got adjusted.
Okay.
It was supposed to be 12. It ended up being 4 or 5. Whatever. Cool. We went.
Mm-hmm.
We get back. An hour before the cruise ship is supposed to take off, because we know. In our heads, because we've seen the YouTube fucking videos, that you should not even try and play that game.
Yeah.
And by the way, the cruise ships usually leave within 30 minutes of each other. Everybody has the same, they're all following each other around the Mediterranean. They're following each other for safety. They're following each other because that's where the good weather is. And they're following each other because that's by maritime law, that's where they're supposed to go. You can literally look outside of your cruise ship at night in the Mediterranean and see the cruise ship behind you and the cruise ship
really?
In front of you. Yes. And the ones on the side of you and the ones going this way, there are shipping lanes. So you see them.
Okay.
They're not like stacked on top of each other, but just like sometimes you look outside an airplane window
mm-hmm.
and you see an airplane like 10 miles off in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
Flying over the Atlantic, because you all are flying on the same lanes. You're going in the same weather direction, whatever it is. I don't know. Who knows? I'm not a maritime law expert. I just know what I saw, what my app was telling me. Okay? All right. So here's the point. Get on the ship, and you hear the horn. Go. 10 minutes to go. 5 minutes to go.
Yeah, boy.
You better get your ass on that ship. You know what I'm talking about? And
yeah.
then eventually,
5:30.
Time to leave. And guess what? Those ropes are coming up. And they don't give a shit, and they know if people are off the ship or on the ship, and they don't give a shit.
Yeah, you can't hold up the whole thing for a couple people.
Captain has that ultimate decision, but usually 5-10 minutes. I've seen
unless
videos.
Unless there's an emergency, I guess.
Course, if there's something wrong or somebody's mm-hmm. you know in a medical emergency, or there's a legitimate reason why you should be holding the entirety of everybody else's vacation up because you're a fucking asshole, but. We saw, I could see out my balcony.
People running.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
Many people running. You get it at the first horn, you know, at the first horn, there's like 5-10, you know, people running up to the ship. It's quite a bit of people, actually. there's 15-20 nudniks running on the ship. And then the 10-minute warning.
Oh.
Then you got another 3 or 4 stragglers. You know, they're running with all their backpack and everything. And they're dragging their kids by their collar. Let's go. And then you get the 5-minute warning. And that's when the fun really begins. Because that's when you can see from the cathedral across the street, you can see people getting impatient for the light to turn so they can do the crosswalk and they're waving, you know.
Oh, God.
Hey, Dios mío, hey, Dios mío. And I watched it. I watched it happen.
People got left.
I don't know because I didn't see anybody getting left at the terminal, but I saw people just make it.
Right.
I mean, they were pulling up the gantry and people
funny.
Had just gotten on board. And so, you know, but there are lots of videos, and I mean lots of videos where people don't make it. And the cruise ship is literally pulling away at what looks like 1 mile per
hour.
And
they're just like standing there at the dock.
There's usually a representative of some sort, like a port authority, you know? But sometimes it's just them on the dock going like this, and people are clapping, they're cheering, they're waving goodbye.
Is there any way that you would be able to, like, you know, quickly pay someone and then just get you over there on the boat?
No.
You can't meet back up?
No. Big no-no. You can't jump onto a moving cruise. That's for pirates and the Coast Guard. I mean, I'm sure they do have a door, right? And they probably have a ladder.
Could you meet, like, in the next port?
That is likely what you would do on a long on a long cruise. That's likely what you would do.
But then you'd have to figure out a way to get to that next port.
Yeah, like if you were in Rome and they said, hey, the next port of call is
Nice.
Sicily or something like that. Yeah, I guess you could take a train or find a quick airplane to go there. Because all your bags are on the
plane. All your stuff's on.
And that's likely what you would do. But if it was a short cruise, like a four-day Caribbean
cruise. So they
would
let you back on in like the
next port. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, as long as you have your identification and your cruise ID. Like usually you get a bracelet.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's one of those kind that's not coming off until you actually cut it off.
Yeah.
A bracelet or you have a key card or whatever. As long as you're the person that was on the cruise, you'll get back on the cruise. But the captain, ultimately, it's a captain's ship and he is probably judged on whether or not he gets someplace on time. Now, here's the crazy part about all this. If you look at, like, I have an app called Marine Traffic on my phone because, of course, I do. I track shit. I like to track shit.
You're tracking the planes, you're tracking the ships.
Yeah, I'm tracking everybody.
Okay.
I'm ChatGPT AI, big brother.
I just need to share my location with you at this point.
Hey, listen, some people do, and I don't know. Rafa does, and I said, dude, I woke up one morning and Rafa's like, bouncing around Venice. And I'm like, what are you doing? I go, why are you sharing your location? He goes, oh, I must have done it for the Pearl Jam concert.
I said,
I see you're in Venice.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, I'm here for a week. I go, okay, I just thought I'd let you know you're sharing your location with me. He's like, it's good that somebody knows where I am.
It is.
It makes me feel better.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, I'm keeping it on. And he still has it on.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I check on him. I'm just like, what's Rafa up to?
Yeah.
But yes, you know, I track those ships sometimes. And one of the things one of my kids loves to do is he wants to know where the Disney cruises are at all times.
Oh, yeah.
There's like five or six of them. We like to look and see what location they're at. What you'll notice is the Castaway Cay, which is their private island, which a lot of their cruises go to from Florida. You know, you go spend a day on Castaway Cay, which is a beautiful, manufactured, but beautiful place.
That's what you were saying. Is that the one with like the rides and stuff?
There's no rides, but they have, like, out in the middle of the ocean, like, waist deep, they have an entire water park out there. So you can go.
Oh, the water park.
Yeah, and you do water slides into the ocean. It's really quite cool, actually.
Yeah.
My kid got stung by a jellyfish, and that wasn't so cool. But anyway, whatever. So it's a beautiful island with more white sand beaches than you've ever seen in your entire life. All these chairs. You just go. You grab a chair. You sit there. You get a cocktail. Whatever. But you can watch these ships. And the thing is, they say, okay, we're going to go to Castaway Cay for the day, and then we're going to have a sail day where we're sailing back to or the next location or wherever. The Caribbean's not that big. Mm-hmm. A ship can get from point A to point B, probably in 4 or 5 hours. But then in the middle of the night, they just turn the engines off or they start swimming in a circle, right? And that same thing happens in the Mediterranean. I noticed on a lot of these cruises. It doesn't take them an entire night to get over to the next place, but they'll just spin around for a little while.
They'll just anchor?
Yeah, not anchor, but they'll float out there, or they'll turn the engines off. They'll keep themselves in a certain direction, but they're going half a mile per hour, right? And they're just kind of going out there. So a captain's really being a dick at 5:30 when he says, well, 5:30, 5:31, got to roll them up. You got plenty of time. I mean, it's not like you need it. You know, if I don't get out by 5:30, I'm not going to be there by 5:30 in the morning the next day. No. but they stick to, I understand, you got a timeline. You got a timeline, you got to stick to it. I get it. And can we really inconvenience everybody? Everybody else wants to watch us sail away and be out in the ocean and the Mediterranean for two nudniks who'd spend a little extra time buying fake gold at the Moroccan, the Mallorcan, you know, gold factory or whatever
Bizarre.
It is. Yeah. And by the way, there's one in every port. So you're going to be just fine. Go to Grand Bahama. Pull up to that one.
No.
It's a bazaar.
No, I do not. I have no interest.
Yeah, that's the thing is that, you know, in Jamaica too, like we went to Ocho Rios. It's the same thing. It's the same thing when you get off the ship in Ocho Rios as it is when you get off in the Grand Bahama, as it is when you get off wherever. And all the Caribbean ports, they're all the same. They're selling the same, different people, but they're selling the same mm-hmm. shit. You got to get a little beat off the get off.
Yeah, we quickly,
beat off. Beat off, Brian. Beat off the beat off. Beat off the beaten track over there by the whacking tree. You got to go buy some weed from a Jamaican guy.
Yeah, yeah, that's a given.
That's a given.
But and, yeah, we had a driver. We already knew him. Mm-hmm. He had been recommended. He was a friend of a friend.
Did he get you weed?
And oh yeah.
Yeah. Did he have weed with him?
Yeah.
It was like in the cab?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, hey,
yeah,
man.
He was ready. Yeah. Here it is. But yeah, once we got on the road, he had the beers and the weed for us.
Shit.
We were ready to go.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. We went over to Negril.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Absolutely lovely. Didn't take me but 15 minutes to get myself in weed trouble
yeah,
in Jamaica.
No, you got in trouble.
I got in a lot of trouble because I tried to give the guy $20 for like this much bud and he ended up giving me an entire bud
stalk.
This big. Yeah, a stalk, a tree. He wanted to sell me the entire
That's
plant.
That's right. Didn't
yes.
you have to go like in the back
I
room
did.
Of some
I
tent?
Did. Yeah. Imagine just like tents, like festival tents, you know, like yeah. temporary festival tents, yeah. a line of them. Imagine Shakedown Street at a fish show or Grateful Dead show or Widespread show. But imagine this goes on. It's in the Jamaican forest. So it's near these very famous waterfalls in Ocho Rios. And so there's trees over. It's just like a kind of a darkened place. But there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tourists going in and out of these little temporary tents, uh-huh. buying knickknacks and trinkets. And so I go into one tent, and I don't know the first thing to ask. So I'm like, hey. You know, I'm doing this whole number. Yeah. And the guy's sitting behind the counter. He's looking at me, and he's like, you got a problem, man. You okay, man? And I'm like, hey, you know,
smoke.
Yeah, and he's like, you want some marijuana? I'm like, shh, shh. Like, this is Jamaica, man.
Yeah, it's not illegal.
Yeah, he goes, come on, brother. Come on, I take care of you. And then we go back into another tent that's behind that tent, into a third tent that's behind that tent. Now we're like I don't know, we're in the factory of the tents
yeah.
or something. We're back in the storage area, the bowels of the tent, where they keep all the trinkets they got from China that they're going
right.
to sell you, right? Boxes of them, and he opens up this like wicker basket, and I'm like, he's like what you want, man? And I go, I don't know, 30. And he's like, 30. And I go, dollars, $30. Okay, I got you, brother. And he goes, you got something to put this in? And I take a cellophane off my cigarette pack, and I go like this, and he's like, you're gonna need something bigger, brother. And I'm like, it's all I got. And he's like, we'll figure it out. He opens up the wicker basket, and he pulls out a bud this big. It's like 2 feet tall.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, no, no, no. I was thinking like a little bit. This is a little bit, man.
Yeah,
this is a little bit. What do you want? You said 30. I thought you wanted the basket. I look in the basket. It's just filled with bud. I mean, just, I'm like, oh, shit. By the way, I don't smoke weed. This wasn't for me. I didn't smoke weed at the time. I swear to God, it was not for me. It was not for me. So I managed to negotiate paying more for much less. You know,
mm-hmm.
well, here, let me give you 60. Can you cut it in half for me? I mean, I was such an idiot. I do that. Put it in the cellophane. Put it in my swimming suit. We go to the waterfalls. Or I put it in my pants, shorts. I take off my shorts. I put it in the locker. Put my swimming suit on. Go to the falls. Get out. Put, you know, everything in a bag. We're still wearing our swimming suits. Put everything in a bag. Get back on the ship. Three nights later, purser comes on, the cruise purser.
Okay.
On the TV, it just pops on. It's weird like that. That's how it happens on a cruise ship. Just pops on.
Hey, it's Dave, your purser, and I'm so glad you joined us on your Carnival cruise. Didn't you have a good time? Weren't we all excited about Jamaica? So much fun. Now, We all know what happens in Jamaica. Little ganja, make you gotcha. You know what I'm saying? little crazy Jane, little Mary Jane.
Wacky weed.
Wacky weed. Wacky tobacco, as they call it. Now, when we're in international waters, there's certain laws we apply and don't apply to. Of course, it's not legal to have marijuana on our boat. But sometimes people do make the mistake of bringing it back on the boat. I'm going to tell you now. We're going to be in American waters in less than 6 hours, and it's 1,000% illegal to have marijuana on your person. So I just go ahead right now and take care of that. You can throw it over the side of the boat, you flush it down the toilet, or do whatever you got to do with it. And I'm like, oh, okay, thanks, Dave. Thanks for the heads up.
Yeah.
Because of the entire cellophane pack worth of bud that we had, we still had the entire cellophane pack worth of bud left.
A lot of it.
All of it. Yeah. I think someone took one hit of it and threw up and spent the rest of the day
it's
in bed.
Strong.
It was strong. And so I threw it out. That's what I did. I put it down the toilet. Like he said, I threw the cellophane away, put it down the toilet. Next day, get to the port. Going up the very tall escalator to go from where you get off the boat, and then you got to go up the escalator into customs. And as I'm riding up the escalator, I see that there are two officers standing with a very beautiful German Shepherd.
Uh-huh.
And I think the German Shepherd is my friend. I talk to the dogs. I'm a dog whisperer. I like that dog. Look at how cute that dog
they
is.
They say don't talk to or talk or pet. It's dogs.
Oh, I went right up to it.
I'm
then,
a dog lover too, but
But it didn't take me, I didn't have to get halfway to it because it came to me.
Yeah.
And then it sat down in front of me. Yes.
gave me the paw.
And I was like, oh, that's cute.
Which is the signal that they're dogs.
30 minutes later, I was getting an anal cavity search. By a U.S. Customs officer. You think I'm joking? I'm not. I was. To which my brand new wife thought was hilarious. I did not think it was so funny at the time. But, you know, it happens. Anyway,
took one for the team.
I did. I took one for the team. It took I never lied to them. I told them, you know, when they asked the question, I told them, in Jamaica, I had some weed, right? And they eventually got to the bottom of the dog's nose. I was wearing the same pants I had put the cellophane of weed in. The dog's nose was so sensitive that it had smelled the weed days after it had been in my shorts because I hadn't washed my shorts or anything like that. And then they went on to explain as they were taking every single thing out of my luggage and shaking it down and having the dog sniff through it. They went on to explain that this does happen pretty often, but that is just part of their job. And mm-hmm. I said, okay, no, it's okay. Let's, you know, I got to get going. Okay, see you later. And he said, one more thing. You wouldn't like stuff anything in your side. And I'm like my ass? And he was like, yeah, you wouldn't do that, would you? And I'm like, no, I wouldn't do that. He's like, you mind if I take a look? We'll go here. There's a private bathroom over here. So it's like two guy officers.
Spread them.
Yes. And I pull down my pants and I'm like spreading my ass cheeks and he's got a flashlight. And he's like looking at the underside of my carriage. It's the most humiliating thing I've ever been through.
Oh, God. Cruises, you've completely turned me off from them again.
Yeah,
now.
So anyway, if you want to join us for an anal cavity search and a cruise through the Mediterranean, we'll keep you posted on that.
We'll bring the gloves.
That's right. All right. We got more to talk about, including why we have a bunch of stuffed animals here in the studio. We'll talk about that when we get back.
You'll make this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock.
Hi, cats and kittens. Rachel here. Do you ever get the urge to speak endlessly into the void, like Brian? Well, I've got just the place for you to do that. 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Feel free to call and yell all you want. Tell Brian I need a raise. Compliment Chrissy's innate ability to put up with all his shenanigans. Or tell us a little story. The juicier, the better, by the way. We'd love to hear your voice, because Lord knows we're done listening to ourselves. Also, give us a follow on your favorite socials, at The Commercial Break on Insta, TCB Podcast on TikTok. And for those of you who like to watch, that came out wrong. We put all the episodes out on video, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak and tcbpodcast.com for all the info on the show, your free sticker, or just to see how pretty we look. Okay, I gotta go now. I've got a date with my dog. No, seriously, Axel needs food. Today is pork chop day.
All right, like 3 weeks ago, well, maybe it's longer than that at this point, We got a message from one of our fans named Jen. It's a van. Listener. Sorry. I'm getting a little too sycophantish even for my own taste. We got a text message from a listener who asked for our P.O. box so she could send us something. And I didn't know exactly what it was, but she started to explain that it was something that she was crocheting. I guess is the way that you would put that. Knitting, crocheting. How mm-hmm. would you say that?
Yep.
And so eventually we checked the P.O. box because, you know, it's a P.O. box. You don't check it every day. It's not like it's right outside your house. So but eventually we got to the P.O. box and I wanted a chance to just share with the other listeners that Jenny, dollface as she is, has made us four separate crocheted stuffed.
Beautifully crocheted.
Beautifully crocheted stuffed things. I don't know which. They're not animals. One is Lady Pees-a-Lot, which is in the shape of a pee drop, yellow, pee yellow, with a smiley face on it. One is Sir Poops-a-Lot, which is a brown poop with corn in it.
There is corn.
One has a big F on it, F-bomb. I'm imagining that's what that is, the F-bomb.
Yeah, as a bomb.
And then the Chill Pill, a nice, lovely blue color. The Chill Pill. It is, they are lovely. They are adorable. My children have been playing with them all day, asking exactly what they are. I told some of them what they are, but then the other ones I just said, they're just fun. Have fun with them. So they've been throwing them around the house.
They're super cute. Thanks, Jenny.
Yeah, you can see them on youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Maybe I'll make a post about it. No promises there because social media is not my strong suit. So no post there. But if, you would like your, I imagine that this is one of the things that, one of the messages she would like us to convey, and I'm happy to do this. If you yourself would like one of these or something similar, text me 212-433-3TCB, and I will give you the information so that you can get a hold of her, and maybe you can get your very own set of little plushies, little stuffies, mm-hmm. little crocheted stuffies. They are very adorable.
Soft and very
They are very
plushy.
Soft. Yes. I had to put them in the dryer because she kindly alerted me that she has a home that might have cats in it. And since mm-hmm. I'm deathly allergic to cats, it was nice of her to do that, to go ahead and let me know that I might die when I take them out.
Here you go.
Going to the post office to get that stuff is an experience because the box was too big to fit into the actual P.O. box. So I had to go and, you know,
go
wait
to the
in
counter.
Line. Yeah. I do have to say the guy behind the counter was very, very efficient. Hmm. But the lady in front of me seemed to be a Jamaican lady, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken, Jamaican lady. And she had a bag. And that bag, I could see, was leaking something. Oh. It was like gooey, right? And she kept like wiping the goo off like with her hand on the table. And I was like, oh. And it had like a funky smell to it that I couldn't quite figure out. Like, was it food? Was it a essential oil? Was it something along those lines? So she gets up to the thing and the guy grabs the bag and he's weighing it. And then he says to her, ma'am, there's something coming out of this. And she says, oh, no. It fell in some stuff I had at the house and it, you know, that's what it was. And he goes, okay. So he grabs a paper towel, he wipes it off. He starts fooling with the bag to put a sticker on and all this other stuff. And then he holds it up and it's like dripping this goo. And he's like, I think this is actually coming from the inside of the bag. Do you mind me asking what's inside?
Right.
And she goes, well, I don't know. And he goes, you don't know what's inside the bag? And she goes, no, I'm mailing it for someone else. And he says, well, I think I'm going to have to. Yeah, he goes, I think I'm going to have to decline to mail this because, and then he points to the wall.
No liquids.
No liquids mm-hmm. that are open container liquids, nothing that's wet. And he says, you know, I can't take anything that's wet. Like, it's just not, it's against the rules. And she got very upset
Plus,
by this.
Plus, as a general rule, you should never be mailing anything that you don't know what's inside of it for someone else.
I think that's like rule number one.
I think so.
I mean, you know, I used to watch this Locked Up Abroad show.
Yeah,
remember
yeah,
that?
Uh-huh.
It was a thing for a while. I'm sure it's still on, but it was a thing for a while. It gave me great anxiety, but I did like to watch it. And I don't know why it gave me great anxiety, but because I travel abroad sometimes, yeah. I always feel like I could be victim to this. Because I could easily see myself being at a bar one day and some guy is like, hey, I want to send you to Mallorca. And I'd be like, wow, Mallorca. All expenses paid because I like you, Brian. You're the kind of guy I like. And I show up there and I'm in some like 5-star
yeah.
hotel. And then I got locked in a room with somebody
right.
who's like, you're not getting home mm-hmm. unless you take this bag. But when you do get home and you take this bag and you get to the other side of customs, I'll give you an extra $20,000.
Yeah.
I could easily see myself falling for that. I'm dumb like that. But, you know, the one thing, like when I go to the airport and I hear them say, you know, please make sure you have packed your own bags. Do not take luggage for anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I think to myself, really? Is anybody has anybody fallen for that lately?
Yeah.
Like, I see the locked up abroad, but I'm pretty sure those people were complicit or at least understood what was going on at some point or another. But
right, they were in on it.
Yeah. Like, who doesn't pack their I don't pack my own bags,
well,
but I trust my wife.
Yeah, you don't pack your own bags.
I trust my wife.
Right.
Like, that's just rule number one. You got to know what's inside of your luggage. Like, these people that get stopped and they have a gun with a bunch of bullets in the, and they're like, oh, I forgot. You forgot you had a 9mm, loaded 9mm in your suitcase? Like, I don't know if that's what you do for a living. Maybe, I guess. If you're just so used to having a loaded 9mm in your luggage, I suppose. It's so dumb. I was reading about, this is an interesting segue. Something I did want to talk about was on my list. There's an influencer, supposed influencer. I looked at his Instagram. He had like 12,000 followers. So still more than the commercial break.
Right.
But if he's an influencer at 12,000, then we must be an influencer at 9.75 or something like
yes.
that.
We'll consider ourselves.
We'll consider ourselves.
Tastemakers, if you will.
Tastemakers. I like that. Tastemaker. Two years after something becomes popular, Brian yeah. says, hey, did you hear about this?
La boo-boos.
Yeah, la boo-boo. So this dude, this influencer, probably 20-something, and he, 2 days ago, as we're recording this, 2 days ago, got arrested in the Atlanta airport with 30 pounds of weed gummies.
Oh.
Liquid THC, hashish oil, and actual green marijuana, like
okay.
plant.
He was loading planetary. Up.
He loaded it up, and he was going to, I don't know where he was going to.
Like out of the country?
He was going out of the country.
Oh, out of the, God.
He was going out of the country. He is such, I mean, honestly, like a real dipshit. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to go to Colorado and you come back with some gummies, but that's a lot, for one. And for two, you don't risk taking stuff out of the country or back into the country.
So I'm on a Reddit about this. A passenger arrested after police allegedly discovered $3 million in drugs. It's never $3 million. It's $3 million if you sold it all individually. You know what I'm saying?
Right, street
price. Yeah. Okay, here's what you need to know. A traveler was arrested in Atlanta after officials found nearly $3 million worth of marijuana in his luggage. The 22-year-old was en route to Sao Paulo, Brazil, allegedly carrying over 50 pounds of narcotics. Earlier this year,
like the limit for your bag.
That
like
is.
The weight limit.
You had every inch of your bag with marijuana?
Yeah, I guess he just had one full bag.
Yeah. What was this guy's name? I'm trying to figure out the guy's name. Vance Randolph, a 22-year-old en route to Sao Paulo, was placed in custody after officials alleged they discovered drugs in his suitcase. Following the arrest, Randolph was transported to Clayton County, facing marijuana trafficking charges.
Yeah, that's definitely trafficking.
For sure. From the search, they found, 12 pounds of THC wax, 34 pounds of hashish,
34 pounds of hashish,
4.6 pounds of marijuana, and 1.2 pounds of pasty marijuana. Pasty marijuana. I've heard of a lot of kind of marijuana, but pasty? What's up with that? Why you got to be...
It's in all forms.
Why is it got to be a race thing, the pasty marijuana? Yeah, so Randolph is a supposed influencer online.
It says supposed.
Yeah, it says supposed, yeah. This is after police discovered earlier this year a 40-year-old suspect attempted to board a flight to Atlanta when he was found to have 400 grams of cocaine taped to the underside of his wig. I love it. I love it. It's a genius. Yeah, I saw the pictures of this guy, by the way, earlier this year. The wig will look, he looked like Teresa Caputo.
It did.
It did.
I can imagine.
Yeah. It was like unnaturally lifted off his head. Yeah.
All that coke.
Yeah, not to mention, it's probably seeping into your brain.
Yeah,
you're all sweaty. It's like sliding off your head. I would be so stressed out.
Oh, my God.
I may or may not have one time been in Vegas. I may or may not have one time had edibles. I bought edibles.
Yeah.
I told you this story.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like calling people for advice on what to do. And they were like, put it in your pocket?
Yeah.
Yeah. They were like, whatever, dude. No one cares.
No.
And I cared. I was so stressed out.
A small amount.
A tiny amount. Yeah. I mean, we're talking like a package of them.
Yeah.
I wasn't even, but he's like, put it in your whatever. And I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, I was reading this Reddit thing about this guy, Vance Randolph, and yeah, he's not really an influencer, but he claims to be. He shows up, showing off all of his, you know, fancy cars, and now we know how he got all that money. But dude, you have to be a real fucking numbnuts to not even try and hide the fact that you got 50 pounds of marijuana in a bag that can only fit 50 pounds of stuff.
Right.
Like, you're not trying to put anything else in there with it? Like, how about just carry the 34 pounds of hashish? First of all, second of all, you're going to Sao Paulo, Brazil. You don't think they have marijuana in Sao Paulo, Brazil? Of course they do. Now, because it's legal here in some places, do we have better weed? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe the good stuff comes from California. Mm-hmm. And this dude just loaded up on it. But that's a lot of trips to the weed
to the
store.
Dispensary.
Yeah, you can't buy 34 pounds.
Not at once.
I think it's like a pound.
Or a day, I think, they monitor. I mean, they take your ID. They do the whole thing.
So they take pictures of your ID.
Yeah, there's the whole process.
They know how much you're buying. Mm-hmm. And they know when you're buying it. And there's probably a system just like prescription drugs where if you buy too much in a certain amount of time, they decline you service. They say, sorry, you've reached your limit. 34 pounds of pasty marijuana a month, Mr. Green.
I don't recall having seen hashish being available in those dispensaries.
Never. No, that's concentrated marijuana. That's highly concentrated marijuana.
Yeah.
I've smoked hash. That's a whole different animal right there.
It is.
You better be ready to go to a different
night-night.
Universe. Yeah, night-night. Opium, I used to, like, there used to be there used to be a guy that I knew. This is like way back when I was a teenager, late teens. There was a guy that I knew who had a connection for opium.
Yeah, yes. I know. I remember seeing some friends, like not friends, but people that I remember was around.
Yeah, it was around. It was like making its way around for a couple of years there. You could just like get opium. It was relatively cheap. It was like $5 for a little ball of opium.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd throw it on a bad, cheap, shitty weed. We'd throw it on there and we'd go fucking night-night. Well, one time my friend concocted hashish and opium together and we put it in a bowl and we smoked it. I was gone for 3 days. I honestly was in a different fucking universe.
I didn't know
what to think or do for a long time. I was crippled by this experience, crippled by it. Because it was just too much. My body said it didn't know which way to go.
Right.
I mean, it knew which way to go. Down. Shut down, Brian. Power down, Brian. But I'm in this Reddit post about this Vance Randolph. And people are talking about carrying marijuana on planes domestically, like back and forth, you know, like weed gummies and stuff like that. And the universal answer, even from supposed people who worked at airport security, like TSA officers that are on this Reddit post, supposedly, we don't give a shit.
Yeah,
it's
they're not looking for that.
Yeah, it's not legal, but that's not what we're looking for.
Right.
If you have a pound of cocaine and we find out, we're going to tell the local police and they make a decision about what to do. Our job is to find stuff that's dangerous to carry on the plane.
Exactly. Bombs, weapons, whatever.
Weed gummies or, you know, your Rattler with two extra Xanax in it.
Right.
That's not something we care about. It's just not. We're never going to care about that. That's not our directive. And we're actually told it's none of that's not our business, right? There's a gun or a knife or electronics that look suspicious. That is the type of thing that we're going after. You know, they fucking swab
and candles. I was taking a candle on a trip
one time,
and they took out my candle, and it was it alerted something.
Oh, really? It alerted something?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, you know, I get you're sitting there waiting for your bag to go through the scanner, and it came around the other side. Okay, come over, step over here.
Yeah, crystal meth.
And then,
yeah.
it was my candle.
I was going on.
They just checked for it. They didn't take it, though.
Well, that's good. But I could see why they wouldn't want something that could burn on the plant. Oh, they swabbed it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've gotten alerted. I've gotten swabbed a number of times. I was going out of Ireland one time, and we check in. We check our bags. And then I get, like, this stamp on my ticket, and the girl writes something on it, like a 66217 or something like that. And she goes, you're going to be screened additionally, so please make extra time to get
your flight. I've heard about that, the number thing that they do for extra screening.
And I said, oh, okay, any reasoning behind that? And she goes, I can't explain anything additional. Just make sure you make extra time. She was, like, really scary about it. And I was, like, I looked at Astrid, and I'm like, oh, shit. What, did I pay my light bill? I mean, what's going on here? And I did get pulled over for a lot of additional screening. Like, they were swabbing my feet and, you know, checking my ID and stuff like that. But then I Googled it, and, you know, there's a lot of conjecture online. You know, that means you're on some list, or your name is similar to somebody else's, or they're looking.
It's supposed to be random, though, right?
But there were a lot of, like, there were a lot of, like, attorneys who deal with immigration law and travel law who just said it can be random or it can be for a purpose. Mm-hmm. But the number that they put on there is different for every country, and it's not always congruent with the reasoning. In other words, you could get a 2267, and it could just be random, or you get a 2267, and it means they're looking for
you. That's a code.
Yeah, it's a code. But if you're even allowed to get the ticket in the first place, it's likely you're not in too much trouble, right? I mean, if they give you the ticket, that you know, they're not gonna, they're not playing hide-and-go-seek with you.
Right.
Like, let's see if he shows up, and then we'll arrest him.
Yeah.
So I felt better about that. But it did take me an extra, like, 10 minutes, 15 minutes to get through, and I never figured out why. I never really understood. I don't usually have too much
Jamaican
of a hassle.
It was Jamaican weed flag.
It's my Jamaican weed, or it's all the posts I'm making about Venezuela. One of the two. One thing's for sure. Never going to Venezuela, at least not in this current administration.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, let's take a break. We'll be back.
Okay, you're probably wondering why I, Rachel, have taken over the voice duties at TCB. It's pretty simple. Astrid asked me to shut Brian up, even for a minute. Well, lovely Astrid, your wish is my command. Do you want to help Astrid too? You know you do. Leave a message for her, or me, or Chrissy at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can be on the show too. Mm-hmm. Just call and say something. Anything. Or text us and we'll text you right back. Promise. Then head over to tcbpodcast.com and get your free sticker. It's your constitutional right to a sticker, and we must abide. You get the point. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and watch all the episodes on video at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Best to you and Astrid, especially Astrid.
It's way old. What's that?
I thought you said you sent him to her.
I did.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I did. Okay. I just need to follow up. I need to ask again. But that's okay. Listen, hey, we're talking about Rachel, and actually somebody has texted us now. Now they're on to it. They're like, how many days are going to be pork chopped yet? Because by my count, the last 36. I was like, hey, listen, Axel's a spoiled dog.
He is. He gets the best.
Yeah, for sure. I wanted to talk a little bit about Love Island. Love Island is not a show that I have kept up with or watched
much. But my stepdaughter does.
Okay, tell me what she said.
No, she loves it. She's addicted to it, but she just needs to watch it every night because, you know, somebody gets voted off or the crazy things
happen. It's like
happen.
Five nights a week, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't really know. And we should be better about this because they have asked us if we'll accept people from Love Island. You have to be like on call to take them like the next day.
I told her this and she said she would help me. She would help us if we did get somebody.
Okay. Listen, she wants to give us the rundown or come on and ask the questions. I don't know. But this year, it seems like it's reached a fevered pitch online and offline. And I think from my understanding, from my reading of the situation, there's a couple of different reasons. Apparently, there were three girls. One of them, Soraya Papaya or Anaya Papaya or something. They call her something Papaya, I guess, right? And a banana. I'm not sure. There's one of these girls who everybody really liked. And then she got into like kind of a clique and started bullying some of the other girls or one of the other girls about a relationship or something like
that. Oh, no.
And it turned very ugly. And it turned ugly online, and it turned ugly in the show. And it turned so ugly that the producers of the show felt it necessary during the second half of the season, which is over now, by the way, the second half of the season, they felt it necessary to put a disclaimer at the beginning of the show saying,
please don't bully.
Please don't bully. We don't like bullying. The cast doesn't like bullying. And you probably don't like bullying either. So let's keep it out of the conversation. And so I started, someone's printing something yeah. in the middle of my show. Thank you.
It's Daniel.
Thank you. Hi, Brian. It is Daniel. It's for sure Daniel.
I know. This happened last time.
This happens every time he comes. Yeah, he just starts printing stuff while we're... The printer is like right next to the studio equipment. So if you hear that, I'm sorry. I apologize. They felt so strongly that this was getting out of control that they felt it necessary to address it, which is strange in and of itself. It tells you what a connection they have to the audience. Mm-hmm. But if you go and you start looking at some of the social media posts about Love Island, you can see that this has clearly gotten out of control. One of the reasons why I think this has gotten out of control, let me see if I can. I did a little research on this with ChatGPT earlier.
You Hold and on, Chatty.
Me and Chat. Good Bosom friends.
Buddies.
I rail against it on air. I use it all the time off air. So, Love Island season 7. Oh, okay, here. Love Island's drama spills off screen. Okay, and here's the other thing that I wanted to say is that Call Her Daddy has now gotten involved.
Oh, really? Alex?
Yes, Alex.
She's going to have a dating show, I saw, that's coming out.
Oh, she is?
Mm-hmm,
Call
on
Her
Hulu.
Daddy?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Alex Cooper. She has really, and did you know that Call Her Daddy was a show with two hosts at first?
I did not.
And the second host was dropped from the show, left the show, dropped from the show or whatever. Now that girl has her own show and she is spilling some tea regarding all of this. I don't know. I'm not going to, listen, I like Alex. I think Alex has done a wonderful job. A rising tide floats all boats. And by any stretch of the imagination, she has raised the level of consciousness about podcasting 10x. And just like Rogan did, just like Serial did, just like a lot of other Smartless, like a lot of other podcasters that are doing great things in the space, expanding the reach and the audience that's available to us. Now, unfortunately, they don't actually come to us, but that's okay. We'll take it. Huda Mustafa was reportedly dropped from the Call Her Daddy's podcast in favor of Love Island season seven winners, Amaya Papaya and Brian, sparking fans' backlash online. Despite not winning, many believe Huda deserves the spotlight for her raw journey and impact on the season. Love Island season 7 may have ended with love and confetti, but the post-villa drama is proving to be just as intense. While winners Amaya Papaya and Brian took home the $100,000 prize, and fan favorite pairs like Nick and Alondrio left on a high note, all eyes have now turned into what's happening off camera. The Islanders are slowly returning to their regular lives, doing interviews, hopping on podcasts, and reflecting on their time inside the villa. But fans of Huda were shocked to learn she may have been swapped from last minute from Alex Cooper's Call Her Daddy podcast in favor of Amaya. Huda, according to a viral TikTok posted, Huda was originally scheduled for an exclusive interview with Call Her Daddy. The TikToker claims an insider revealed that Alex had locked in Huda for her first sit-down, but once the finale aired and the winners were crowned, plans changed. Allegedly, Alex Cooper made a switch, trading Huda's exclusivity rights in favor of Amaya and Brian, likely seeing more potential in having the winning couple on the show. The same TikToker claimed that interview rights were passed to podcaster and former Bachelor star Nick Vile, who will now host her first official post-show interview. The last-minute nature of the swap has sparked outrage from fans who feel Huda, despite not winning, deserved the platform more than Amaya. All right, well, congrats to Nick Vile on the big get. Nick, of course, has made his own way in the world by really living in that reality show vibe. He gets all of the hot guests to come on his show. I know Nick. I know. That's all I'll say. I know Nick, and I say congratulations to all his success too. Listen, this is just the nature of podcasting. I don't think Alex did anything necessarily wrong, and I'm sure it wasn't 100% her call. Like, and what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is there's probably a whole PR machine with Alex, producers, talent bookers, agents and agencies that negotiate these kind of conversations. And the Love Island winner was probably negotiated long before the season started. Call Her Daddy probably had that.
That they would get
deal.
The winner.
Yes, correct. That I want the exclusive deal with whoever wins. And of course, Love Island would be an idiot not to give it to her. This was probably booked long in advance. It probably had nothing to do with anything. But people thought Huda should win. So everybody thought Huda was going to go sit in that chair. But when she didn't win, and Amaya Papaya, who people have kind of railed against, this is the same girl who I said went from like 10,000 followers to 1.5 million followers in a very short order. And people were questioning whether or not that could even be possible. I think it probably can, actually.
That show's very popular.
Very popular. But Nick Viles knows slouch himself, and he'll do a good job with Huda. And this makes all the sense in the world. It'd be like, let's take Conan O'Brien in the commercial break, okay? Just like, and, you know, I know we knock ourselves a lot here. We're very self-effacing. Because honestly, we don't believe in our own success and we have imposter syndrome to the X degree.
Yeah.
But let's say Conan O'Brien and the commercial break. We will get some of the same guests. But if it's a choice with an agent between Conan O'Brien and the commercial break,
yeah,
they're going to Conan O'Brien.
Yes.
Conversely, right, is if you have a hit show and you're agreeing to send your people to a show, right? You're going to send the winner to Conan O'Brien. You're going to send the other folks to the commercial break. Mm-hmm. That's just the way that it is. And it's probably pre-negotiated long before the winner is ever announced. So I say all this to say that Alex should get a little bit of a break here because the winner is the winner for a reason. They won the contest. It's time for them to get their spotlight too, regardless of whether you like them or not. Alex wants the winner on her show, and that's what she negotiated. If Huda was such a hot item, maybe Alex could have gotten her too, but Huda probably said, I want my own show. I want to do my own thing. I don't want to play second fiddle to Amaya Papaya again. I lost to her, and now I want to go on second on Call Her Daddy. No, I'll go to Nick Viles' show, which is also extremely popular. So I think this is just kind of the way the world works. I don't think there's anything nefarious going on here, even though you'd look in those social media comments and you would think that there's a grand conspiracy against Huda. And for Amaya Papaya. Just don't think it works like that. That's my own personal opinion. I'm just sharing like a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm breaking down the fourth
sense.
Wall a little bit here on the commercial break. Because, you know, we also get these kind of, like, when they said, do you want to have Amaya Papaya and Brian on? I said, I just don't think it's right for the show. I don't think those millions. Not a good fit. I don't think I don't think those millions of new listeners, I don't think I want
them. Yeah, we're
good. Yeah, I don't want them. I don't want them anymore. Just like Trump saying, I don't want the Epstein people anymore. I don't want them. I don't want them anymore. Do you read that one?
I mean,
this is getting wild.
It really is.
Wild.
It is. There's a big hubbub.
It reminds me of an
but
old.
But there's minutes missing from the tape, and they were going to release it, and then they didn't. I'm waiting to see what happens in the end before I really.
Me too. And I have never, you know me, I'm like, not an anti-conspiracy theorist, but I tend to believe what I see and what I hear to be true. What I feel is true based on my own research and what's available. And I think Epstein was probably an apex predator of epic proportions.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of people who probably played that game with him. I don't know if there's a list necessarily, but I bet there's lots of evidence of people who would have been on the list. And it seems really weird that this was the, like, this is the thing we run on, and now all of a sudden,
forget about it.
It was a Democratic.
Never mind.
It was the Dems.
It was Obama.
Russia, Russia, Russia. It was Obama. Russia, Russia, Russia. Listen, it reminds me of the old ancient proverb about the snake, about the boy who became friends with a snake. And every day they would play with the snake, and the snake would play with him, and they would have fun together. Little snakey and little baby boy, you know, running around the jungles and having fun, little like a snake and a boy do sometimes. And then one afternoon, the boy got a little too close to the snake, and the snake bit him.
Yep.
And as the boy laid there dying, he said, "What happened? Why did you bite me? I'm dying. I thought we were friends. And the snake said, I am a snake.
It's in my nature.
It's in my nature.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful what you wish for, because this is what happens. That guy will turn on anybody. And by the way, there's a lot of politicians like this, right, left, and center.
Yeah.
But there's just one with the loudest mouth. So anyway, I know that some people don't like him when we talk politics. I just find it really not funny. I'm not joyful about it, because there is an apex predator involved here. And I think the fact that he is the only one, whoever is going to get in trouble for this, and that Ghislaine Maxwell or whatever her name is, who will probably get out of jail, by the way, probably will not spend the 20 years that she got in prison, because she will probably cut a deal or be pardoned. Mark my words on that one.
Mm-hmm.
After people go to sleep on this. The reality is, Epstein hung out with a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of high-profile rich people.
Prince Andrew, Bill Clinton, Alan Dershowitz, Donald Trump, lots of people in Hollywood. So Epstein was the only one that was hanging out with those young girls?
Yeah.
He was the only one that was doing things with those young girls? Fuck that. That's not believable. It's not a believable story, and they're trying to sell it as if we're all a bunch of, you know, fucking sycophants for not buying the bullshit. All of the administrations who have helped to cover this up, by the way, not just the Trump administration. But we must point out that it's the Trump administration that put him in jail. It's the Trump administration where he died, quote unquote, by unaliving himself. And it's the Trump administration who now has the files or whatever information is available and won't let it out of the bag. I'm not saying this is like we need to spend the every waking moment of our governmental day paying attention to this, but there are a lot of people who would like to know, would like to see some people be held responsible for this. And now we're just going to all go away because it was the Democrats.
Yeah, just forget about it.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, that's all I'm ever going to say about Jeffrey Epstein. But I just wanted you to know that I am aware. I'm not a dum-dum. And probably by the time this thing airs, there will be seven other developments in this,
yes,
too.
So I know. Something happens every day.
Yeah, if it sounds like I'm like a little bit behind the times, it's because we may or may not be on vacation, and I may or may not be recording this a little bit ahead of time. As we do.
Uh-huh.
You heard it here last, folks.
That's right. We got to stick to that.
Yeah.
Consistency is key.
Yes. Anyway, all that said, if what is available is going to re-victimize people, then I think you do have to be careful. And I think you also have to be careful that you don't release some like innocuous list of people who ever did business, were on a plane, hung out with, and those people automatically become guilty by association. So I think there does need to be a daft touch. But now they're understanding, you can't just scream at the top of your lungs on a podcast that everything's a conspiracy. Then you get in charge and you realize, oh, maybe not everything's a conspiracy.
Yeah.
Because I'm a snake, it's in my nature.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 212-433-3TCB. 212-433-3TCB.
From cruises to snakes.
From cruises
cover it
to
all.
Snakes to the Epstein files. Love Island,
Love
to
Island.
Maya Papaya. We're doing it all. Love Island. Call her daddy. Your vile files. We know our shit here at the commercial break. Cocaine in your suitcase. We know about all of it. I'm watching all of you. I'm tracking your airplanes and your cruise ships.
You are.
I am. I was watching all the all-star planes coming into PDK. It was fun.
Oh, yeah. Nationals won. It's great.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was on Saturday. Then all of a sudden it was on last night.
No.
So
yeah,
I
they
was
just kind of ramped stuff up over the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. It was like the weekend and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was last week. So, again, right on top of it. Last week, as you're listening to this,
yeah.
All right, at the commercial break on Instagram, help us get to 10,000, because I think if we're not there already, we could be there in just the next day or two. You can help us at the commercial break. Do it. YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak for all the episodes on video the same day they air here on the audio. It's available to you. Go watch all of our guest episodes. You can check out our little plushies from Jenny. One more big thank you to Jenny for taking the time to send us these lovely gifts.
Absolutely.
You too can send us lovely gifts. Text us. I'll give you our P.O. box. TCBpodcast.com. The audio, the video, and your free sticker all available right there on the URL. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for now.
I think so.
I'll tell you that I love you.
And I love you.
Best to
best
you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Merch drop coming soon. Until next time, we will say, we do say, and we must say.
Goodbye.